Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
A little while ago, as part of my kind of weekly routine, I would go to a coffee shop and get some work done there, because if I'd do some of this sermon prep or research or whatever at home, like, there was all kinds of other stuff at home that would kind of get in the way, right? And so every 10 minutes or so, I get distracted. So I go and I work at a coffee shop, and have meetings at this one particular coffee shop, and every week there would be, I forget, certain time and place, there would be, like, at the beginning, five or so tables, so like half of the coffee shop was just reserved for the group that was coming. And you didn't mess with the group's table. You didn't get near it within like 15 minutes of the group coming. And so they would come in and they would talk about the good old days. And so primarily older gentlemen or so, and they would talk and just share all these great stories about when life was good, when they were building up Frederick, when they were doing the stuff, and clearly they had a wealth of knowledge and they had some great stories to tell. But as kind of time went on, it was interesting to watch, and because I am a psychology and sociology guy, like, at my core, I like just to listen to the stories, especially when it would kind of bend towards religion and things like that. And as I noticed, though, the weeks went on, the kind of year kept going, and it went from like five reserved tables to four reserved tables, to then fewer and fewer people kept coming, and it was this interesting kind of way that their group kept getting smaller and smaller, because it was stagnating and there was no way for anybody else to break in to that circle of folks. Does anybody know groups like that? I'm sure you don't. I'm sure I'm the only one, right? That there's just this insider club that goes around. But what would happen then is that, as again, somebody who kind of goes to the hospital on a more regular basis than many other people, or have funerals and things, I would notice that there would be a spot that would be missing. And then they would you know, lament that so-and-so is sick or that so-and-so had passed away. And they would kind of just, there would be this lull in conversation for about 10 minutes. And then they would pick up with the same 17 stories or so that they've told all the time. And the pattern would continue, but now in three tables and barely making three. And so what I thought was, you know, that there was this kind of way in which this group, this community, was shrinking. And they didn't even realize it. They didn't even know. And that everything that was going with them, all of the wisdom, all of the story, all of the everything else was also being lost, because there was no way for someone else to come into their story, to come into the general story. And so we've been in this series talking about the power of routines. So we started off our grow message talking about the power of being in Scripture, in the Word, in small groups. Then we talked about the importance of giving and simplicity and the way that shapes our lives. And then last weekend we talked about the power of community, because we've kind of got to get a little bit of our own house in order. And so Erin shared about the power that FaithPoint has had in her own personal life, and the way in which, similar to Carly's experience, actually, she said, you know, in different phases, in different stages of my life, FaithPoint has been there, encouraging me, supporting me when nobody else seemed to, that this community is a family for me. And so this week, then, we want to talk a little bit about the churchy word is called evangelism, but really it's sharing our faith, sharing what God has been doing, and then making an invitation or inviting others into the good news of God's grace so that we might then grow together. And as we do that today, there's this wonderful quote from John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, that says, "I want the whole Christ as my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, and the whole church for my fellowship, and I want the whole world as my mission field." And he kind of sums up this entire series right there, that I want to dive into Scripture, and I want that to be it for me. I want not just part of Jesus, not just the part that maybe that saves me and shows me grace, but that part that then allows me to encounter that preferred kingdom here and now and shows me what it is to live a gracious life. The whole church as my fellowship, to realize that I could go anywhere on a Sunday morning, or I could connect with any group, and I could find a place there for me. And then the whole world as my mission field, or the whole world, some kind of paraphrase it as the whole world is my parish, and that I'm going to be willing to step out into the unknown and go from there. And so as we look at that and pair it with our scripture today, we picked a scripture that's called the Transfiguration, where Jesus kind of takes these three guys that he would often take with him, Peter, James, and John, and they went up to a mountaintop. And if you're reading the Bible often, or if you've encountered it some, you know that when people go up onto a mountain, you should probably pay attention, okay? Because stuff happens on the mountain, which I mean, makes sense. If you've ever been on a hike and you have worked hard and you're sweating and you're whatever, there's good stuff that happens on top of mountains, right? You ever have a campfire? When we were in Haiti a few years back, and there was something about sitting on top of that mountain, having conversation, overlooking the valley, that like you could just tell that God was humming in that space, right? And so there's something that happens in this mountain, and so he takes them up, and this wonderful thing happens, that there's Jesus, and then all of a sudden there's this vision of Elijah and Moses, these two pillars of the Jewish faith, of the Hebrew tradition, of everything that was in the past and is now and was to come. There is promise and hope, and there's this thing, and it happens, and it's big, and it's amazing, and it's, whew. And they're blown away. Like something, I mean, they couldn't even fathom it. And so the best part is Peter. And Peter gets kind of this wonderful, wonderfully impulsive vision of him. He's the same guy that when Jesus said, hey, come on out to me when I was on the lake, and he starts to walk on water, right? Like that's Peter. Peter's this guy that acts, and then he thinks. And oftentimes his action is rewarded. And when he starts to think, that's when he starts to sink. But here's what it is that this thing happens, and he says, Jesus, it's good for us to be here. Like, I can't imagine, like, what a kind of present-day corollary to that is. You know, gee whiz, something's happening. I guess it's a good thing. He says, but now, here's the best part. I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I mean, that's kind of our natural inclination, though. And building altars and building these shrines or these little remembrances is typical of a Jewish tradition of going, no, we need to make sure that people know something happened here. I mean, that's why they would name different places off of, you know, like they would have places where if there was a tree there, they would say, at this tree something happened, and there was power in that, that this was the bush that burnt and wasn't consumed, that this was, you know, whatever that might be. And they set up altars, and it's this beautiful thing of knowing that God has moved and acted in this place. But while Peter is talking, it says that a bright cloud overwhelmed them, and a voice said, this is my son who I dearly love. I'm very pleased with him. Listen to him. Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces and were filled with awe. Well, of course they would be, right? That like all of a sudden everything's going good. We're gonna build a statue. We're going to do some of that rock balancing thing. And then all of a sudden, thunk. And this kind of like, after Jesus was baptized, like, this is my son who I'm well pleased. Of course, you're going to be a little bit freaked out. But one of the things that I want to talk about today and talk about as this kind of connection with us, with the way that we see and interact with this scripture, is that Jesus doesn't say, don't build this. But after they sit up, after they stand up, it doesn't say anything about, so then they hired a committee to think about making blueprints for the way in which they're going to make the altar so that they could have a thing that they remember one time ago, that there was this thing that happened, so that everybody who was inside their circle could go and go back to that place and be like, remember when? Yeah. They're up on a mountain. They have this experience. It is exceptional. But it's kind of like trying to bottle lightning. And so what Jesus does is he says, all right, you've seen, You understand, kind of. You see more clearly now. Now it's time for us to go back down and get to work. I love that. I love that that's the way that Jesus does stuff, right? Is that he's like, all right, cool, there was this thing that happened, and they start asking him questions along the way as they go down the mountain, and they're like, but what about, he's like, let's just go, man, we've got work, this was a thing that we did together, and so let it be that. Let it be this thing that Jesus knows that this new way that he is ushering in is in no need of temples and fixtures and altars, and you could even set up church on one day of the week and then let it be gone the next and know that something happened in this place, that God has been there in this place, and that God will continue to move and act in this place and wherever we go, and we don't have to make a big deal about what happened then because we are focused on what is about to come. Isn't that cool? You know, a few weeks ago we talked about Banksy and his shredded pieces of art, but I can't help but think Jesus was maybe one of those like original street artists where he's like, no, there was this thing that happened and now it's gone, but that's okay because this more beautiful thing's gonna happen, so just buckle up and hold on and let's come down the mountain because better stuff is ahead. And so Jesus knew this, and so they go back down the mountain where they knew that there was need and where there was work. And the bottom line is that the disciples wanted to make this monument, make this museum where there could be rocks that collect dust and they would eventually fall over and come in disrepair. And Jesus was inviting them to experience life anew rather than life that was. You know, Jesus demonstrates that there's this importance between a museum faith and like a park type of faith, right? Because if you think about the last time that you went to a museum, there's all kinds of like signs and reminders that there's this really kind of neat stuff that happened, but there are also all of these types of signs, right? Don't touch this because if you touch it, my God, that book that is super old will disintegrate. Okay, I'm 36 years old. I have 1 foot in the grave already, and I hate those places. Because my God, I want to touch it, I want to break it, and I'm not allowed in there, okay? If you're like a fan of Parks and Rec, it's almost like they have like a snow globe museum in Pawnee, Indiana, according to Leslie Knope, and she's not allowed to go in there because she picks them up and she shakes them. If you're presented with snow globes, your job is to shake them, right? But the problem is that sometimes we set up like Peter, James, and Paul, or Peter, James, and John, is that they had this experience in this encounter, and they said, no, we need to make this museum so that everybody knows what happened here one time. We need to put some names on plaques. We need to make sure that nobody touches that. And Jesus goes, no. Look, the way that we're doing things is that we're going to come down the mountain. That we're going to come down the mountain and we're actually going to encourage people to touch and see. That's literally in our communion liturgy, right? Like take and eat. Like this is a thing, that this is a faith that we can ingest. And so the difference is that when you go to a park, though, it's like choose your own adventure, right? Like you can see at a trailhead and you can go this way for this way for this. And there's this invitation to come into something more. When we're at museums, there's a lot of rules. There's no room for something new to happen, and it's a real passive experience. That is the exact opposite of what Jesus is engaging us in, is inviting us to. You know, it's this kind of park faith that's alive and waiting for the next story to be written. It like says, now here's the story up to this point, but from here on, the pages are blank. So let's have adventure and possibility. Let's enfold one another into this tribe and experience and be active in what we do. Now, if you have to pick to live a life that is defined by museum rules, or you have to live a life by park rules, by a show of hands, who's going to pick museum? Who's going to pick park, right? Everybody. You don't want to be like, man, I just want to see where we've been. I want to see where we're going, and I want to be a part of that. And so let's go back to those guys at the coffee shop for a minute. You know, they would gather, and they had this kind of museum mentality of let's talk about the way things were and the way things were perfect back then. Were they really perfect? Probably not. but they would have this, and the signs on the reserve tables and the way that they spoke to one another about other people was very clear that they were putting up maybe these very visual or these non-visual ways of saying, don't touch, don't be a part of us. I don't know why they didn't just gather at somebody's house, because there was no greater social community there. It was just them doing their thing. Please don't touch or be a part of the relics that are gathering here, because soon they're going to be gone, and they are national treasures, right? But the thing is that their group had become smaller and smaller and smaller because there was no room for anyone else even, you know, to come in, even though there were plenty of seats open. There was space for them to expand. It's just that nobody could come in. And so when we start thinking about what this means for us, that what is at stake for us, what we can learn from museums and parks and old guys meeting in coffee shops, is that sometimes we are called to step out, not in. That sometimes, and oftentimes, it's not about you, but it's about God. And when we remember that, we are more blessed than we could ever imagine. Sometimes we have to go down the mountain, we have to change the language to have somebody else pull up a chair, and we have to let others play with our toys, even if it means that they might break. Right? Because sometimes in the breaking of the toys brings about the best part of community and the best part of seeing what life has to offer. And so this is the kind of faith that encourages that kind of park mentality, right? And so what we have to do is we have to start changing our perspective to step out into adventure. And so we here at Faith Point often talk about taking the next faithful step. And I hope that you do that. I love reading the next step sheets that get turned in and things like that. But what we have to remember is where we are stepping to, okay? So I'm going to, I need a couple of volunteers. It's going to be 6 in total, but 3 for right now because we had 3 disciples coming up, and so let's see. Can I get 3 volunteers? Dennis is 1. Mike is the 2nd. Sandra, all right, come here. So you guys stand right here, okay? Oh, man, Sandra, that was a grunt. All right, so if you stand right here, make like a triangle so that you can, like, if you put your arms out like that, you can kind of touch so you're close enough. Okay, perfect. Good job. Mike, I'm not asking you to like hug anybody. I get that, okay? Now look, so if they're standing like this, right, they're having a good conversation, they can easily be in community and conversation with one another. And so when they ask, as good, faithful people following Jesus every day of their lives, and because this is an illustration where this is the bad part, that's why I say it like I'm down south, okay? So like they're following Jesus and they're taking their next faithful step. What happens is they feel real good. Dennis takes his next faithful step, and man, that was a big step, Dennis. You gotta go about half a step. There we go. A little, right? We're following Jesus, but not all in yet. So Dennis takes his next faithful step. He feels great. And then Mike takes his, and Mike knows personal space, and Dennis doesn't, so there we go. And then Sandra takes hers, and that's amazing. And everybody, and Sandra is the biggest introvert out of all of them, but everybody's getting a little bit closer, and they're taking their next steps, and it's great, and they all feel good, and they're coming together, and like, man, look at how much I'm growing. It's amazing, right? And then they take another little one, just another little one. Fantastic. And they're getting closer and closer. But what happens is that they get closer and closer, and God calls us to expand the kingdom and say, no, make sure that there's room. So, hey, can I get you 3 guys right there? Look, John's up, Katie's up, there we go, Lindsay. All right, now you guys take your space and find space, which you still have your personal bubble, okay? Not like that, but find space in there. Find space in there. Oh, wow, you guys are, come on, John, right? Wait. Is that super awkward to be that close to people that you may not know that much, right? Okay, John says no. Sandra's going, oh my gosh, I'm dying inside. Okay, so 3 newcomers, step out for a second just to give them a little bit of space. Now let's do the same thing, except you guys, so our 3, just turn so you're facing this way. Okay? Because I think that here's the critical part that sometimes the church forgets. Because we like to meet and we like to get together and we like to do all the church stuff, okay? But then when we go tighter and tighter and tighter, it's just like that group in the coffee house. Is that they got so tight, they squoze everybody else out. And when somebody goes, hey, I'd like to be a part, then it's super uncomfortable, isn't it? Because either you're breathing the same air as somebody else, or you don't know the language that they're using. And so when we have an outwardly focused or an outwardly facing church or one that is willing to come down off of the mountaintop to go and see and do and invite people into this kind of park-style faith where we touch and see and know and taste that God is good. Now, Sondre, Mike, and Dennis, can you guys still talk to each other? Yeah, right? I mean, Mike prefers this way, okay? But then when they take their next faithful step, go ahead and take a step, right? Oh, now they're feeling good about each other, but to allow connection to continue to happen, what must happen is that there must be people that are filling in the gaps. And if we're doing it right by that command that we have in our memory verse today about, you know, a new command that I give to you, to love one another as I have loved you, all of a sudden, when Mike says, Lindsay, man, isn't it a great day to wear orange? And Lindsay says, yeah, let's go and let's wear orange together. And so Lindsay, stand right here, right? And then Dennis loves pottery. And man, it's a good day to throw a pot. And Katie's interested in that. So Katie, just kind of stand right here. I know you're close to the stage, right? And then Sondra and John, you guys, good day to be outside, right? And so you stand right there. And so what happens is that with an outwardly focused church, when we take that next faithful step, we can keep going because there's always room for more, right? And so sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think, no. I had this faith when I was 7, and I went to Sunday school enough. And what happened was I had this really powerful experience when I was 7. I want to try to go back to that museum over and over again because my 7-year-old faith, my God, how could God get any bigger than me being 7? And like, and somebody equated God to like a transformer. Jeez, does it get any better than that? Well, yeah, it does. And so we have to come down from that mountaintop in a way that allows us to take that next step and makes God bigger and bigger and bigger. Because if God continues to get smaller and smaller and smaller as we are more faithful, we're doing it wrong. And so we are called, you guys can have a seat, thank you so much, that when we come, if we don't share what we're doing, if we don't share, Andy Stanley, this wonderful pastor, just wrote a book called Irresistible, and he kind of makes the point that what happens is that we have made the gospel, this life-giving gift, this resistible thing, because we've made it a museum, essentially. Not his words, but mine. But what we're called to is to say, no. In God's kingdom, everybody plays. In God's kingdom, the one that everybody serves. When we go out, there are no like second stringers that everybody gets to come and participate, but we also then take that next step and say, hey, who wants to come and who wants to connect? Like Paul and Sarah this week connected with Faith House, the women's home for women and their kids. And they said, it was so great because we met so many people that have a heart like us. Or let's talk about the way we can do church differently so that those people who can't get to church on Sunday mornings or in a physical place, let's talk about the way that we can go and be outward facing so that it's maybe not about us, but it's about God, but then we get blessed by that. Let's talk about the way that we can spend time with young people who may or may not go to church, but at the same time, when we love them like Jesus did, you know, we improve that relational capacity in a way that shares a grace of a loving God that invites them in. In all of these things, through our word and deed, we come down from that mountain, we get our hands dirty, and we get to play in this adventure. And if we screw up, but we screw up faithfully, God says, even Peter fell into the water after he started to walk on water, right? Even Peter asked some tough questions, but he also spoke some of the best truth of any of the disciples. And so with that, let's be like Peter, inviting others into this park faith. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, we give you thanks for the way that you invite us in and the way that you call us to invite others. For you are that one, that creator, redeemer, and sustainer, that we can put our faith, that we can take our risks, and that we can know that no matter what we wrote on our papers today about why we have a hard time sharing what you're doing, there's always time to invite others in and play the game with you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.